This is Lorraine bringing it to you, reading Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban by J.K. Rowling. Chapter 21, Hermione's Secret, Part 3, The Conclusion. "If you'd only grabbed the cloak," said Harry, "it's just lying there." He turned to Hermione. "If I just dashed out now and grabbed it, Snap would never be able to get it, and Harry, you mustn't be seen." "How can you stand this?" he asked Hermione fiercely. "Just standing here and watching it happen," he hesitated. "I'm going to grab the cloak. Harry, no." Hermione seized the back of Harry's robes, not a moment too soon. Just then, they heard a burst of song. It was Hagrid, making his way up to the castle, singing at the top of his voice, and weaving slightly as he walked. A large bottle was swinging from his hands. "See," Hermione whispered, "see what would have happened. We've got to keep out of sight. No buckwheat." The hippogriff was making frantic attempts to get the Hagrid again. Harry seized his rope too, straining to hold buckwheat back. They watched Hagrid meander tipsily up to the castle. He was gone. Buckwheat stopped fighting to get away. His head drooped sadly. Barely 2 minutes later, the castle doors flew open yet again, as Snap came charging out of them, running toward the willow. Harry's fists clenched as they watched Snap skid to a halt next to the tree, looking around. He grabbed the cloak and held it up. "Get your filthy hands off it," Harry snarled under his breath. Snap seized the branch Lupin had used to freeze the tree, caught the knot, and vanished from view as he put on the cloak. "So that's it," said Hermione quietly. "We're all down there. And now, we've just got to wait until we come back up again." She took the end of Buckwheat's rope and tied it securely around the nearest tree, then sat down on the dry ground, arms around her knees. "Harry, there's something I don't understand. Why didn't the Dementors get serious? I remember them coming, and then I think I passed out. There were so many of them." Harry sat down too. He explained what he'd seen. How, as the nearest Dementor had lowered his mouth to Harry's, a large silver something had come galloping across the lake and forced the Dementors to retreat. Hermione's mouth was slightly open at the time Harry had been. "But what was it?" "There's only one thing it could have been to make the Dementors go," said Harry. "A rare Patronus, a powerful one." "But who conjured it?" Harry didn't say anything. He was thinking back to the person he'd seen on the other bank of the lake. He knew who he thought it had been. But how could it have been? "Didn't you see what they looked like?" said Hermione eagerly. "Was it one of the teachers?" "No," said Harry. "He wasn't a teacher. But it must have been a really powerful wizard to drive all those Dementors away. But the Patronus was shining so brightly. Didn't it light him up? Couldn't you see?" "Yeah, I saw him," said Harry slowly. "But maybe I imagined it. I wasn't thinking straight. I passed out right after it." "Who do you think it was?" "I think," Harry swallowed, knowing how strange this was going to sound, "I think it was my dad." Harry glanced up at Hermione and saw that her mouth was fully open now. She was gazing at him with a mixture of alarm and pity. "Harry, your dad's, well, dead," he said quietly. "I know that," said Harry quickly. "You think you saw his ghost?" "I don't know." "No, He looked solid, but then, maybe I was seeing things, said Harry. But from what I could see, it looked like him. I've got photos of him. Hermione was still looking at him, as though worried about his sanity. I know it sounds crazy, said Harry flatly. He turned to look at Buckbeak, who was digging his beak into the ground, apparently searching for worms. But he wasn't really watching Buckbeak. He was thinking about his father and about his three oldest friends, Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Fawns. Had all four of them been out on the ground tonight? Wormtail had reappeared this evening when everyone had thought he was dead. Was it so impossible? His father had done the same. And he'd been seeing things across the lake. The figure had been too far away to see distinctly. Yet he had felt sure for a moment before he lost consciousness. The leaves overhead rustled faintly in the breeze. The moon drifted in and out of sight behind the shifting clouds. Hermione sat with her face turned toward the willow, waiting. And then, at last, after over an hour, "Here we come," Hermione whispered. She and Harry got to their feet. Buckbeak raised his head. They saw Lupin, Ron, and Pettigrew clambering awkwardly out of the hole in the roof, followed by the unconscious Snape dripping weirdly upward. Next came Harry, Hermione, and Black. They all began to walk toward the castle. Harry's heart was starting to beat very fast. He glanced up at the sky. Any moment now, that cloud was going to move aside and show the moon. "Harry," Hermione muttered, as though she knew exactly what he was thinking. "We've got to stay put. We mustn't be seen. There's nothing we can do. So we're just going to let Pettigrew escape all over again," said Harry quietly. "How could you expect to find a rat in the dark?" snapped Hermione. "There's nothing we can do. We came back to help Sirius. We're not supposed to be doing anything else." "All right." The moon slid out from behind his cloud. They saw the tiny figures across the ground stop. Then they saw movement. "There goes Lincoln," Hermione whispered. "He's transforming." "Hermione," said Harry suddenly, "we've got to move. We mustn't, I keep telling you. Not to interfere. Lupin's going to run into the forest right at us." "Coming on, gasped. Quick," she moaned, dashing to untie Buckbeak. "Quick, where are we going to go? Where are we going to hide? The Dementors will be coming any moment." "Back to Hagrid," Harry said. "It's empty now. Come on." They ran as fast as they could, Buckbeak sidling along behind them. They could hear the werewolf howling behind them. The cabin was in sight. Harry skidded to the door, wrenched it open, and Hermione and Buckbeak flashed past her. Harry threw himself in after them and bolted the door. Fang the boarhound barked loudly. "Shh, Fang, it's us," said Hermione, hurrying over and scratching his ears to quieten him. "That was really close," he said to Harry. "Yeah." Harry was looking out of the window. It was much harder to see what was going on from here. Buckbeak seemed very happy to find himself back inside Hagrid's house. He lay down in front of the fire, folded his wings contentedly, and seemed ready for a good nap. "I think I'd better go outside again, you know," said Harry slowly. "I can't see what's going on. We won't know when it's time." Coming on, looked up. Her expression was suspicious. "I'm not going to try to interfere," said Harry quickly. "But if we don't see what's going on, how are we to know when it's time to rescue Sirius?" "Well, okay then. I'll wait here with Buckbeak. But hey, be careful. There's a werewolf out there, and the Dementors." Harry stepped outside again and inched around the cabin. He could hear it yelping in the distance. Catnip the Dementors, the closing in are serious. He and Hermione will be running to him any moment. Harry stared out toward the lake, his heart doing a kind of rumble in his chest. Whoever has said that the forest will be appearing at any moment. For a fraction of a second, he stood irresolute in front of Hagrid's door. You must not be seen. But he didn't want to be seen. He wanted to be seen. He had to know. And there were the Dementors. They were emerging out of the darkness from every direction, gliding around the edges of the lake. They were moving away from where Harry stood to the opposite bank. He wouldn't have to get near them. Harry began to run. He had no thought in his head except his father. If it was him. If it really was him, he had to know, had to find out. The lake was coming nearer and nearer, but there was no sign of anybody. On the opposite bank, he could see tiny glimmers of silver, his own attempts at a Patronus. There was a bush at the very edge of the water. Harry threw himself behind it, peering desperately through the leaves. On the opposite bank, the glimmers of silver were suddenly extinguished. A terrified excitement shot through him. Any moment now. Come on, he muttered, staring about. Where are you? Dad, come on. But no one came. Harry raised his head, looked at the circle of Dementors across the lake. One of them was lowering his head. It was time for the rescuer to appear. But no one was coming to help this time. And then it hit him. He understood. He hadn't seen his father. He had seen himself. Harry flung himself out behind the bush and pulled out his wand. Expecto Patronum, he yelled. And out of the end of his wand burst, not a shapeless cloud of mist, but a blinding, dazzling, silver animal. He screwed up his eyes, trying to see what it was. It looked like a horse. It was galloping silently away from him, across the black surface of the lake. He saw it lower its head and charge at the swarming Dementors. Now it was galloping around and around the black shapes on the ground, and the Dementors were falling back, scattering, retreating into the darkness. They were gone. The Patronus turned. It was cantering back toward Harry across the still surface of the water. It wasn't a horse. It wasn't a unicorn either. It was a star. It was shining brightly as the moon above. It was coming back to him. It stopped on the bank. Its hooves made no mark on the soft ground as it stared at Harry with its large silver eyes. Slowly, it bowed its antler head. And Harry realized Palms, he whispered. But as his trembling fingertips stretched toward the creature, it vanished. Harry stood there, hands still outstretched. Then, with a great leap of his heart, he heard hooves behind him. He whirled around and saw Hermione dashing toward him, dragging Buckbeak behind her. What did you do? She said fiercely. You said you were only going to keep a lookout. I just saved all our lives, said Harry. Get behind here, behind this bush. I'll explain. Coming on, listen to what had just happened with her mouth open yet again. Did anyone see you? Yes. Haven't you been listening? I saw me, but I thought I was my dad. It's okay. Hey, I can't believe it. You conjured up a Patronus that drove away all those Dementors. That's very, very advanced magic. I knew I could do it this time, said Harry, because I'd already done it. Does that make sense? I don't know. Hey, look at Snap. Together they peered around the bush at the other bank. Snap had regained consciousness. He was conjuring stretches and lifting the limp forms of Harry, coming out in black onto them. A fourth stretcher, no doubt bearing Ron, was already floating at his side. Then, one held out in front of him, he moved them away toward the castle. Right, it's nearly time, said Hermione tensely, looking at her watch. We've got about 45 minutes until Dumbledore locks the door to the hospital room. We've got to rescue Sirius and get back into the ward before anybody realizes we're missing. They waited, watching the moving clouds reflected in the lake, while the bush next to them whispered in the breeze. Buckbeak board was ferreting for worms again. Do you reckon he's up there yet? Said Harry, checking his watch. He looked up at the castle and began combing the windows to the right of the west tower. Look, Hermione whispered. Who's that? Someone's coming back out of the castle. Harry stared through the darkness. The man was hurrying across the grounds toward one of the entrances. Something shiny glinted in his belt. McNair, said Harry. The executioner. He's sworn to get the Dementors. This is it, Hermione. Hermione put her hands on Buckbeak's back, and Harry gave her a leg up. Then he placed his foot on one of the lower branches of the bush and climbed up in front of her. He pulled Buckbeak's rope back over his neck and tied it to the other end of his collar, like reins. Ready? He whispered to Hermione. You better hold on to me. He nudged Buckbeak's side with his heels. Buckbeak soared straight into the dark air. Harry gripped his flanks with his knees, feeling the great wings rising powerfully beneath them. Hermione was holding Harry very tight around the waist. He could hear her muttering, "Oh no, I don't like this. Oh, I really don't like this." Harry urged Buckbeak forward. They were gliding quietly toward the upper floors of the castle. Harry put hard on the left-hand side of the rope, and Buckbeak turned. Harry was trying to count the windows flashing past. "Whoa," he said, pulling backward as hard as he could. Buckbeak slowed down, and they found themselves at a stop, unless you count the fact that they kept rising up and down several feet as the hippogriff beat his wings to remain airborne. "He's there," Harry said, spotting Sirius as they rose up beside the window. He reached out, and as Buckbeak's wings fell, was able to tap sharply on the glass. Black looked up. Harry saw his jaw drop. He leapt from his chair, hurried to the window, and tried to open it, but it was locked. "Stand back," Hermione called to him, and shook out her wand, still gripping the back of Harry's robe with her left hand. Alone for Mar. The window sprang open. "How? How?" said Black weakly, staring at the hippogriff. "Get on, there's not much time," said Harry, gripping Buckbeak firmly on either side of his sleek neck to hold him steady. "You've got to get out of here. The Dementors are coming. McNair's going to get them." Black placed a hand on either side of the window frame and heaved his head and shoulders out of it. It was very lucky he was so thin. For seconds, he had managed to fling one leg over Buckbeak's back and pull himself onto the hippogriff behind Hermione. "Okay, Buckbeak, up," said Harry, shaking the rope. "Up to the tower, come on." The hippogriff gave one sweep of his mighty wings, and it was soaring upward again, high as the top of the west tower. Buckbeak landed with a clatter on the battlements, and Harry and Hermione stood off him at once. "Sirius, you better go quick," Harry panted. "They'll reach Flitwick's office any moment. They'll find out you're gone." Buckbeak pawed the ground, tossing his sharp head. "What happened to the other boy?" "Ron," croaked Sirius. "He's going to be okay. He's still out of it, but Madame Pomfrey says she'll be able to make him better. Quick, go." But Black was still staring down at Harry. How can I ever thank? Go! Harry and Hermione shouted together. Black wheeled buckwheat around, facing the open sky. We'll see each other again, he said. You are truly your father's son, Harry. He squeezed Buckbeak's side with his heels. Harry and Hermione jumped back as the enormous wings rose much higher. The hippogriff took off into the air. He and his rider became smaller and smaller as Harry gazed after them. Then a cloud drifted across the moon. They were gone. This is Elaine, bringing it to you, reading Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban by J.K. Rowling, Chapter 21, Hermione's Secret, Part 3, The Conclusion.